My name is Dennis Lewin, and this is the sixth edition of the Dennis Lewin radio program on BBS Internet Radio. Thank you very much. Today's program should be a good one. For 1 hour, you will hear all about the life and times of the brilliant composer, pianist, and violinist, Felix Mendelssohn. And don't forget, you can sponsor this radio program by going to my website, www.dennislewinmusic.com. Or you can make a donation at the donation page at that site. So without further ado, let's get into the life and times all about Mendelssohn. For more information about this program, go to www.dennislewinmusic.com, turning you on to classical music. Jacob Ludwig Felix Bartholdy Mendelssohn was born on February the 3rd, 1809, in Hamburg, Germany, to Abraham and Leah Mendelssohn. His first name, Felix, translated from Latin, means a happy man, and for the majority of his life, he lived up to his name's definition. Felix Mendelssohn's grandfather was the very famous hunchbacked Jewish philosopher peddler Moses Mendelssohn, who rose to fame and became one of the most celebrated intellectuals of the 18th century. Moses Mendelssohn's dialogue on the immortality of the soul, which was translated into 12 different languages, gained him the label of the modern Plato and the German Socrates. His controversial translation of the Old Testament to the German language brought him a storm of rage from many of the Orthodox Jewish scholars at the time. Mendelssohn never knew his grandfather because he died 23 years before he was born. Felix's mother, Leah, was the one who possessed the musical talent. And aside from Felix, the Mendelssohn daughters, Fanny and Rebecca, would also turn out to be great pianists and minor composers. And Paul excelled as a brilliant cellist. But Felix's talent, of course, was basically from a different hemisphere. Even to this day, scholars and music intellects regard him as truly the only equal to the child prodigy Mozart. Mendelssohn's mother was an extremely brilliant woman, and aside from her musical abilities, she was a very skilled artist, linguist, and Greek literature advocate. On the other hand, her husband Abraham's gift was not in the field of the arts. It was in the business world, and during his lifetime, he made a fortune in the banking industry, which made it possible for his family to be artistically educated at the highest level. Aside from motherhood, Leah monitored all of the children's studies, and there were absolutely no cutbacks in their education. At the earliest ages, the Mendelssohn children were introduced to books on literature, music, art, and all of the other fine things in life. When Mendelssohn was 3 years old, the French army invaded and occupied the town of Hamburg. And with this, the Mendelssohn family uprooted and moved to Berlin. After arriving, they moved into a huge mansion on the very chic New Promenade. It was at this time that Mendelssohn's mother began to give the 3-year-old Felix and his older sister Fanny piano lessons. She began by giving them 5-minute sessions each day. And soon, after the lesson times were increased, it was crystal clear that both Mendelssohn children had special musical gifts. Not long after this, the Mendelssohns would travel to Paris and accompany their father on one of his business trips. During this visit to Paris, their mother Leah hired a special piano tutor for the children by the name of Marie Begot. After they returned to Berlin, both Mendelssohn children would begin a serious, extensive musical and academic education. This is when the young Felix began to study piano with Ludwig Berger and theory with Carl Friedrich Zelter. Aside from this piano instruction, he also studied the violin, languages, painting, and drawing. As far as their parents' rearing techniques, the Mendelssohn children were not pampered in the slightest. They rose at dawn and put in a full day of studies in all subjects. But even with this discipline, the Mendelssohn parents believed in a total balance between work and play, and all of the children were totally free to have as much fun as they wanted after their studies. And although Felix's sister Fanny was keeping pace with her younger brother Felix, it was at this time that Felix Mendelssohn began to take enormous strides with his gift. To Fanny, the music lessons were a learning experience, but to Felix, the lessons were nothing more than an effortless chance to show off his God-given talent to his family. As far as his natural aptitude is concerned, Mendelssohn had an extremely sensitive ear and he could memorize endless chordal structures and note sequences effortlessly. And with this, it seemed to many as if he had been reincarnated. When composer-conductor Carl Friedrich Zelter became Mendelssohn's teacher, he said of the child, quote, "I merely put the fish to water and let him swim away." At the age of 9, the young Mendelssohn performed in public for the first time, and at the age of 10, he was enrolled into the Sing Academy, then directed by his teacher, Zelter. At this school, Mendelssohn became a member of the choral body, and he learned much about the art of singing. It was also at this age of 10 that Mendelssohn began to compose serious music, and unbelievably, he was not approaching these compositions as an amateur. Mendelssohn put in hours and hours of dedication and care into these early works, and in 1 year's time, at the age of 12, the young Mendelssohn cranked out a portfolio of symphonies, fugues, string quartets, operas, and smaller works that is still known as remarkable. At this point, Mendelssohn's father Abraham knew that his son Felix would eventually make his mark in the music world. So, he had to take a step that he had long tried to avoid. This step would be for his family and himself to convert to Christianity. His wife's relatives had pushed for this conversion for a long time, but Abraham, for years, would ignore their wishes. But on the other hand, Abraham Mendelssohn was a realist, and it was clear that even with his son's miraculous gift, the Christian society that he and his Jewish family were living in would most certainly stop his son from succeeding. For years, the Mendelssohn elders withstood the Jew bashing from the anti-Semites and turned a cheek to the cruel treatment. But it was when he started to see his children humiliated that he made this move. The straw that broke the camel's back was when the young Mendelssohn was singing in the choir at the Sing Academy. He had been singing a passage from Johann Sebastian Bach's The Passion According to St. Matthew, and after his solo, a fellow chorister shouted out, quote, "The Jew boy raises his voice to Christ." After the incident, Mendelssohn ran home in tears, and the next day, Felix, his sister Fanny, and his brother Paul were taken to a Protestant church for the conversion, and soon, he and his wife, too, converted to Christianity. Abraham even went as far as to add the last name Bartholdy before Mendelssohn, as to separate his family from other Jewish Mendelssohns. Soon after this, the Mendelssohns became known for their Sunday afternoon musicals performed in their huge home. At these get-togethers, some of the most prestigious musicians of the day would join the Mendelssohn children in formal presentations of chamber music for small orchestras. One of these patrons was the great Carl Maria von Weber, and after hearing the young Felix Mendelssohn play the piano and lead the small orchestra, he and most believed that they were watching and hearing a child prodigy maybe equal to the great Mozart. Even the giant, writer Johann Goethe, considered the young Mendelssohn the new Mozart. Mendelssohn was introduced to Goethe in Weimar, Germany, in that same year of 1821 by his teacher Zelter. At his first meeting with Goethe, the 12-year-old prodigy gave the 72-year-old genius the concert of a lifetime. At this hearing, Mendelssohn played extremely difficult Beethoven manuscripts at sight. He also performed numerous difficult fugues by Johann Sebastian Bach and improvised on themes at the drop of a hat. Gutta became very fond of the young Mendelssohn, and he would invite Felix back to his home frequently. During this period, Mendelssohn would send letters to his parents, elated that he was best friends with the author of Faust, and Gutta would tell everyone that he was Saul from the Bible and the young Mendelssohn was David. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roex, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogics, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. At again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. If you're the type of person who is very serious about what types of foods that you put into your body, then you should be just as serious about what types of lotions or creams that you put on your skin. Listen, everybody has lotion, but the Hydramay company has skin nutrition. Hydramay Skin Nutrition is a revolutionary antioxidant, anti-aging product that does not contain occlusive ingredients like glycerin, silicone, dimethicone, or other petrochemicals that block the skin's respiratory functions. Take it from someone who uses their hands for a living. Hydramay Skin Nutrition will make your skin feel fresh and clean with a beautiful fresh aroma that, by the way, has no scent added. So next time you're at the store and you're looking for a lotion for your skin, make sure you head to the section of the store that has the product called Hydramay Skin Nutrition. Hydramay is available at these fine stores: Healthy Heart, Healthy Pleasure in Alliance, The Raisin Rack in Canton, Krieger's Health Food Market in Cuyahoga Falls, Cindy's Health and Vitality Center in Niles, Vital Choice, North Royalton, Mustard Seed Market and Cafe, Akron and Solon, Richmond Natural Pharmacies, all 8 locations, Weber's Health Foods, and Hobart Health Food Stores. Or go to their website, www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. Hydramay, bringing nutrition to moisturization. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For all information about the artists who performed on this portrait, send me an email from my website, and I shall give you that information, which is www.DennisLewinMusic.com, turning you on to classical music. At this point, the young Mendelssohn continued to musically astound everyone that came in contact with him. He would listen to string quartets and quickly run to the piano and improvise extensively after one hearing. And with this, people stood in awe and could not believe what they were witnessing. Many quotes were made about the young Mendelssohn at this time, including, "This boy is one of God's own." Aside from his talent, Felix Mendelssohn was also blessed with good looks. He had beautiful, long, curly auburn hair that passed his shoulders, and he had the face of an angel, clearly shown in paintings of the child. As far as his teachers are concerned, he would outgrow them as he would outgrow his clothes. Even the legend, Ignaz Majalis, the student of Antonio Salieri, and the associate of Ludwig von Beethoven, was flabbergasted by the young Mendelssohn. During one of his teaching sessions with the child, Majalis wrote in a diary, quote, "He stands in no need for lessons. All I can offer him is a hint as to anything new to him. He is a mature artist." In the year 1825, the Mendelssohn family moved to a huge 7-acre estate on the Leipziger Strasse. This place was basically a palace. On one side of the mansion, there was a garden house that was converted into a performance theater for the Mendelssohn weekly concerts. This estate also had many other amenities that the young Felix Mendelssohn took advantage of, such as bowling, horseback riding, swimming, billiards, and chess. And of course, Felix Mendelssohn excelled in all fields. He was also a great dancer and a meticulous dresser. But with all of this privilege, there was no sign of arrogance. He treated everyone with the same respect. It was now the year 1826, and for Felix Mendelssohn's 17th birthday, he gave a gift to the world that forever will be cherished. This gift would be his first masterpiece called The Overture to a Midsummer Night's Dream. The original version of the work was written for two pianos, and he and his sister Fanny performed the work at one of the Mendelssohn Garden House soirees in that same year of 1826. 6 months later, Mendelssohn performed the orchestral version to the public in Stettin, Germany. The concert was a major success, and the public and the critics were truly amazed that a teenager could produce a work with such magnitude. And even though Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream was a success, shortly he would experience his first failure. This work, that was also written in his 17th year, was based upon an episode from Don Quixote. Mendelssohn submitted the work to the Berlin Opera Company, and it was accepted, but the work was shelved for a year. Soon, it was finally seen at a smaller theater, and although the audience, made up of friends and family, cheered loud in support of Mendelssohn, he knew deep in his heart that he had written a third-rate flop. It was given one more performance, and then pulled from the theater. For the next 3 years, Felix Mendelssohn wrote a few noted works, such as string quartets and works for the piano, but nothing significant. But in the year 1829, Mendelssohn was hit with a premonition. This was to resurrect the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. For almost 60 years, the music of Johann Sebastian Bach had been completely ignored by the critics and by the public. Most musicians during Mendelssohn's time were completely oblivious to the Bach catalog. But as a child, Mendelssohn's mother and his teachers fed the music of Bach to Mendelssohn, and it became part of his soul. He had learned some of the preludes and fugues at a very early age, and his teacher Zelter kept some of the vocal selections alive from the St. Matthew's Passion, and made the selections mandatory among the Sing Academy students. One of Mendelssohn's prized possessions as a child was a copy of the St. Matthew's Passion, given to him by his teacher Zelter. And one Christmas, Felix Mendelssohn began this tedious task by assembling 16 singers who he would rehearse with endlessly. One of these singers was a man by the name of Edouard Devrient, a very well-known opera singer. The two would endlessly go over the score and confirm the absolute genius of this masterwork by Bach. Finally, they both approached Mendelssohn's teacher, Zelter, and practically begged him to have the Singing Academy perform the work under Mendelssohn's direction. And although Zelter was a huge fan of the St. Matthew's Passion, he was extremely reluctant to perform the work, because he did not believe that the world was ready for a piece with such epic magnitude. But because of the overwhelming enthusiasm of the two young men, Zelter gave in. This historic and monumental performance took place on March the 11th, 1829. The audience was entranced in complete silence as passage after passage filled their souls with solemn devotion. This performance was such a success that it had to be repeated. History does not doubt that this first performance was the beginning of placing Johann Sebastian Bach back to the top of the ladder in music, where he absolutely belonged. Soon after the resurrection of Bach, Felix Mendelssohn traveled all over Europe. During this tour, he went to England for his first of 10 visits. The English people adored Mendelssohn, and they basically adopted him as their own son. No other foreign composer up until that time had ever been accepted like that in England. Here Mendelssohn is quoted, "London, that smoky nest, is fated to be now and ever my favorite residence." The Philharmonic Society elected Mendelssohn as an honorary member, and he made his conducting debut in England with his symphony in C minor. After England, Mendelssohn traveled to Scotland. This visit, of course, gave him the inspiration for his Scotch Symphony No. 3. Next, Mendelssohn went to Italy, where his next symphony, Italian, would be started. Then it was on to Paris, where Mendelssohn came in contact with the great Frédéric Chopin and the great Franz Liszt. All of this influence went right to the pen of Felix Mendelssohn, and when he returned back to London, the music poured out. During this period, Felix Mendelssohn created many works, including the beginning arrangements of his Piano Concerto No. 1 in G minor, Capriccio Brilliant for piano and orchestra, and his first volume of Songs Without Words. It is speculated that his sister Fanny wrote some of the melodies to the Songs Without Words, but there is no mention from the composer. Thank you. The most important thing that you can do for your body is to replenish it daily with nutrients that naturally diminish the aging process, daily stress, and other various problems. The NutraHealth Company provides its customers with the most efficient and effective quality nutrition and wellness products at the lowest possible prices anywhere. We're talking Roex, Premier Research Labs, Vitalogix, and Jigsaw Health. So what are you waiting for? Go to NutraHealth's website now at www.nutri.cc and order any of their state-of-the-art supplements. At again, the lowest prices anywhere. That's www.nutri.cc. You are listening to the Dennis Lewin Radio Program on BBS Internet Radio. For more information about this radio program, go to www.DennisLewinMusic.com. Turning you on to classical music. In the year 1833, Felix Mendelssohn was 24 years old, and he became the head musical director of opera, church, and choral music in Düsseldorf, Germany. This was his first appointment to a professional musical post, and he was not happy about it. This was because he created much dissension by demanding the absolute most from the performers and his insistence on maintaining the standard repertory. But after 6 months, Mendelssohn had enough of that fiasco and he quit. Luckily, a few months later, he was elected a member of the Berlin Academy of Fine Arts. This was his first official appointment. In the year 1835, a greater position opened for Mendelssohn. It was the director's position for the Gewandhaus Orchestra in Leipzig, probably the most prestigious position available. With huge success, Felix Mendelssohn remained at this position for 5 years. During his stay, Mendelssohn brought immense concentration, detail, and perfection to the Gewandhaus Orchestra, and he set a new standard that put that orchestra in the category of best in the world. This dominating artistic approach as an interpreter basically was the beginning of the modern-day orchestral conductor. In the year 1835, at the age of 26, Felix Mendelssohn was hit with a major blow. His father Abraham died, and although Mendelssohn was set back by the loss, he carried on with his work, silently mourning inside. During this period, masterpieces like the St. Paul Oratorio surfaced, along with the Songs Without Words, Volume 2, and a few more works. After a successful performance of the St. Paul Oratorio at the Lower Rhine Festival, Mendelssohn stopped off in Frankfurt, Germany, on his way home. While there, Mendelssohn became very friendly with a family by the name of Jean Renaud. Here is where Felix Mendelssohn would find the love of his life. Her name was Cecile, and the two were married on March the 28th, 1837. During their marriage, Cecile gave Felix 5 children. At this point, Felix Mendelssohn was extremely happy and content, and he was at the height of his world fame. His conducting position for the Gewandhaus Orchestra filled him with excitement, and his association with the likes of Robert Schumann and his wife Clara Wieck Schumann kept him intellectually stimulated. Soon, more honors would come to Mendelssohn, and in the year 1840, the King of Prussia appointed Mendelssohn head of the music department at the Academy of Arts in Berlin. And although Mendelssohn was not happy about leaving Leipzig, it would have been a major mistake to refuse the king. So reluctantly, he assumed the new position. In the year 1841, the organization of the Academy was a serious mess, and Mendelssohn became more and more frustrated. And since the world premiere of his Scotch Symphony would take place soon in Leipzig, this gave Mendelssohn a legitimate excuse to leave the Berlin Academy temporarily. After the concert that took place in March of 1842, Mendelssohn went back to England, where he gave 2 command performances for Queen Victoria at Buckingham Palace. Luckily, when Mendelssohn returned to Berlin, he found out that the Academy project was abandoned, but he still had to assume the honorary post of Kapellmeister or conductor to the king. This job entailed writing music for special functions, but luckily for Mendelssohn, the position did not require him to reside in Berlin. One of the works written for the post was the completion of the Midsummer Night's Dream Suite. From the suite comes the very famous wedding march that is still used at thousands and thousands of weddings yearly. Also during this period, Mendelssohn wrote a piece of music that eventually became the most famous work that he ever wrote, and probably one of the most famous tunes ever written. And what's funny about the piece is that he never even knew what he wrote. It is a Christmas song that was adapted after Mendelssohn's death. In the year of 1841, Felix Mendelssohn penned a work called Festgesang for male chorus and orchestra, from the festival work Vaterland, in celebration of 400 years of Johann Gutenberg's printing press. This piece eventually became obscure, but in the mid-19th century, an organist by the name of Dr. William Cummings combined this Felix Mendelssohn piece with one of the hymns from poet Charles Wesley. And with this coupling, the Christmas carol Hark the Herald Angels Sing became one of the most famous tunes of all time. In that December of 1842, Felix Mendelssohn was hit with his second blow when his mother died suddenly. This crushed the 33-year-old composer, and it was the beginning of several bouts of anxiety and depression. In the year 1843, Mendelssohn continued to conduct the Gewandhaus Orchestra. He had long hoped for a conservatory to be built in Leipzig that would offer the finest in world-class teaching. And in the year 1843, the king granted Mendelssohn the necessary permit to open such a place. The Leipzig Conservatory opened on April the 3rd, 1843. Mendelssohn and the great Robert Schumann both shared the workload of teaching piano and composition, and Ferdinand David headed the violin department. And although Mendelssohn was doing well, he was heading for an overload. He was teaching, writing, supervising, and still conducting the Gewandhaus Orchestra. Some of the works written during this period included Songs Without Words, Volumes 5 and 6 for piano, the amazing string quartets in E major, A minor, and E minor, and one of his greatest works of all time, the astounding violin concerto in E minor, Opus 64. This overload of work began to take its toll when the 37-year-old composer began to feel severe jolts of pain in his head. Despite these warnings, Mendelssohn continued on. He performed his oratorio, Elijah, in Birmingham, England, on August the 26th, 1846, and he received the greatest ovation of his career. Four choruses and four arias had to be repeated before the audience allowed Mendelssohn to leave. After the performance of Elijah, Mendelssohn returned to Leipzig, where he continued his mission. He was performing concerts as much as he could, and he was desperately trying to keep all of his projects alive and breathing. But soon, the worst blow of his life came, on May the 14th, 1847, when he heard the news of his sister Fanny's death. She was the closest thing to him and his lifelong companion. After hearing the news, Mendelssohn fell unconscious to the floor. After this, a blood vessel ruptured in his head. Eventually, Mendelssohn recovered, but he was never again the same man. Physically, he had aged, and he completely lost all of his spirit and energy. His depression and anxiety bouts became much more severe, and soon he would lose his will to live. The great Felix Mendelssohn fell into a coma on November the 3rd, 1847, and at the young age of 38, he died one day later. The funeral procession began to gather outside of his home that same afternoon, and his coffin was draped in velvet with silver embroidery. The streets were filled with people passing on the word that their beloved Mendelssohn had passed away. And many of the musicians from the Gewandhaus Orchestra led the way of the procession while playing the E minor song Without Words from Book 5. Felix Mendelssohn was put to rest in the Mendelssohn family vault in Berlin, Germany. Memorial services were also held all over Europe, including London, Birmingham, and Paris. Here, an English student writes about the passing of Felix Mendelssohn. Quote, "It is lovely weather here, but an awful stillness prevails. We feel as though the king has died."
Thank you.